Please be seated. There is an old story about a young woman who is applying for admission to the college of her dreams. As is the case with many young people, this process is stressful and there is a lot of anxiety involved in it. In particular, she felt very uncomfortable with one question, and that question was, "Are you a leader?" She knew how she was supposed to answer that question. After all, elite colleges are always looking for good leaders. But she also knew that in her case, the only honest answer was no. That just wasn't who she was. She had talents, she had skills, but leadership just simply wasn't one of them. So she answered the question honestly and sent in the application, knowing full well that she would be rejected. A week or so later, she received a letter from the college. And the letter said, "Dear applicant, a study of the application forms reveals that this year, our college will have 1,425 new leaders. We are pleased to accept you because we feel it is imperative that they have at least one follower." And so our gospel lesson begins. We heard parts of this story during Advent. John knows that people are wondering if he's the leader, if he's the Messiah, the Savior, the one who is sent from God. He also knows that these expectant people really aren't clear what it is that they're actually waiting for. And so he tries to set them straight, honestly. "No, I'm not the Messiah," he tells them. "I baptize you with water, but the one who is more powerful than I is coming. I am not worthy to untie the thong of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is at hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat." Now, I don't know about you, but admit it. John's baptism, the one with water, really does sound a whole lot better, doesn't it, than the one with unquenchable fire. But really what John is trying to say, he's trying to make a distinction. His baptism, John's baptism, is about repentance. It's about the washing away of an old life. You remember the old movie, "Oh Brother, Where Art Thou?" Excuse me. There's a great scene in the movie where Delmar is baptized in the river, and later he is in the car, and he is so joyful, and he exclaims, "I've been redeemed. The preacher said so. All my sins and wrongdoings have been wiped away, including robbing that Piggly Wiggly." He's interrupted by his friend. He says, "Delmar, I thought you said you was innocent of those charges." "Well, I lied," Delmar said, "but I've been forgiven for that too." You see, that's John's baptism. And too often, many of us act as though it's ours as well, with baptism simply meaning nothing more than being redeemed from the past, period. But the distinction that John's trying to make is important. In the one who is greater than John, we are not only redeemed of our past sins, but we're also empowered for the future. That's the Holy Spirit part. John proclaims that while the Messiah's mission includes repentance and the removing of the old life, it also involves moving one's life in a new direction, under the influence and under the guidance of the Holy Spirit. John's job is to call people from their old lives into a new direction, and the Messiah, though, changes lives. The Messiah creates in us new hearts and leads us, even as a companion, into the future of God's kingdom. Do you see the difference? It really is important. In our gospel, Jesus is baptized and was praying, and the heaven opened, and the Holy Spirit descended upon him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my son, the beloved, and with you I am well pleased." And that is Jesus' baptism. That's the baptism that you and I inherit. We are baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. We are sealed by that Spirit and marked as Christ's own forever. Folks, when that happens in a very real way, that dove of God's peace descends upon people just like you and me, as it did on Jesus. And we are claimed. We are claimed as one of God's beloved children in whom he is well pleased, no matter how flawed we are or how flawed we become. And we are empowered, in spite of ourselves, to be a follower, to be a full-fledged, accepted, card-carrying, without a doubt member of that glorious priesthood of believers. How incredible is that? There's one last old story told by Desmond Tutu about his early days as a priest in South Africa. He gave a Bible test to a group of young teenage boys. And one of the questions on the test was, what did the voice from heaven say to Jesus after his baptism? And as you might imagine, most of the boys got the answer right. But one in particular got the answer wrong. Or maybe he didn't. This boy wrote, "The voice from heaven said, 'You are the Son of God. Now act like it.'" Folks, we have been baptized. We have been forgiven our sins. They've been burned away in the fire of God's love. We've been redeemed. We have received the Holy Spirit. We are beloved children of God. May God give us the grace to actually go out into the world and act like it. God love you. Amen.